Blog Talk Radio.
This is the UR Tennis Network. We are the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate tennis enthusiasts who promote our sport relentlessly. We strive continuously to bring news and information for players, parents, coaches, officials, businesses, and anyone else who loves tennis. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis may not be interested in them.
Started with hanging posters on my bedroom wall. The battle rapping for status up in the school hall. Just call me Double Sushi, thought I was too raw. And hip hop was my home, I had my shoes off. 6'3 in high school, skip a hoop dream. If I don't blow up, then maybe I'll try the school thing. I went to college to do my family a favor, but I couldn't pick a major cause I wanted to be major. I tried selling work, but it didn't work. So I worked chopping, selling clerk, feeling over jerk. Lunch break, see me writing 16s over mixed D's. Skipping class, making beats over 60. And I love it even though I'm just chasing. Selfish ambition, couldn't tell your boy Nathan. Watch out all you rappers cause they finna let the rain in. But I was sleeping on the sun like the day's in. And you can have the money, and you can have the fame. For me, I want the glory, I'm living for the name. See, life is just a picture, I see outside the frame. I'm living for a kingdom, and I ain't never seen. Yeah, and I'ma chase that, I'ma chase that. Find a key to life, if you need it, I'ma place that. Glory, I'ma chase that, I'ma chase that. Glory, I'ma chase that, I'ma chase that.
Quiet, please. Here comes the chair umpire.
And now, introducing the umpire of today's match. Hailing all the way from Burnett, Texas, and representing college coaches everywhere, the only one we could find to call the match, Jason Haynes! The show will be the best 2 out of 3 sets with tiebreakers, and is called Diversity in College Tennis. So turn on your phones and get ready to call in.
Good afternoon. We want to welcome you all to today's show of Diversity in College Tennis. My name is Jason Haynes. I am the host of the program today. I am also the Chief Executive Officer of the UR Tennis Network, and we're so excited that you have decided to spend some time with us, either through podcasting or if you are listening live now. We sure do appreciate it. We continue to grow through the listenership, and it's because of the people like you that spread by word of mouth that we are out here, and we enjoy that process. We are on iTunes, and we are on Blog Talk Radio. You can find all of our archive shows there. You can subscribe to the podcast through your iTunes site and account, and we would thoroughly appreciate that. We have some very exciting things happening here at the UR Tennis Network, and lots of tennis information has been happening. As we all know, if we're tennis fans, we keep up with it, and we're just honored and privileged here at the UR Tennis Network to keep bringing you stories every week that that we hope interest you and bring you a little bit of news as we go along through this. Today's show, we have Coach Steve Buck. Steve is the head men's and women's coach over at the UT, University of Texas Permian Basin, and it's a startup program. Steve's only been there a few years, and we're so excited to have him on. It's one of the few programs in the United States, colleges, universities, that has begun a tennis program. They've begun both men's and women's. So we're looking forward to having him on in a little bit. They compete at the NCAA Division II level and look forward to that. Today, normally I always say hello to my mom, Stella Haynes, but she is actually down here in the Woodlands with me. So she already knows that I said hello to her. But I'm sure she'll be podcasting later on. So if she is podcasting, hello, Mom. Glad that you could podcast in today. We have many exciting things happening in the college tennis world. The dual match season has begun. The ITA finished its kickoff weekend this past weekend. Remember, they had 15 kind of regional sites here, these 15 sites. What they did was is they invited four Division I teams into these sites. The teams played each other in two separate dual matches, and the winners played and the losers played after that. And it was a great weekend for college tennis, because if you are a college tennis fan and you were at one of these regional locations, you got to see a great deal of talent, both international and American, there. And could be the future of American tennis right there in front of your noses, and I'm so glad that you could get out and participate. And as I said last week, I wish the ITA would do this two weekends, actually. I think the first weekend of the dual match season, the ITA should sponsor an interdivisional kickoff weekend, and this is a weekend where you have these smaller schools, and they get invited to a larger school, the Division I school, and are hosted for the weekend. The Division I competes with their lineup, and the smaller schools compete with theirs. It's a great recruiting opportunity for the smaller schools, and as well as the larger schools, because now the larger schools can play some of their lower lineup players and still win the dual match and still win the kickoff weekend. And we all realize in the college tennis world there's lots of variety there, but we also want to see great matches. And so this opportunity for the ITA to step up and promote interdivisional play. And then that second weekend, even carrying along with this kickoff weekend, you could promote along the other divisions another kickoff weekend. The Division IIs, Division IIIs, the NAIAs, and the JUCOs could also have their own kickoff weekend and invite teams around. And it's a great idea. And we're so excited that the ITA has put together a network similar to other sports. And just hats off to them for their idea, and I hope they continue with this and maybe even expand on it. We love the interdivisional play here on the Diversity Network of College Tennis, the UR Tennis Network. Remember, it's about what's making American tennis best. That doesn't just mean NCAA Division I tennis. There are so many Americans playing Division II, III, NAI, and JUCO. We forget about them a lot of times because they don't have university beside their name or go to a top 50 program. But we've got to remember that that's the key component here, getting all of these Americans great college educations and them helping their college tennis programs. So I all know that the weekend finished with the Australian Open. Congratulations to Novak Djokovic, going down in history, three-peat champion, first time ever in the history of that tournament. And hats off to Murray for making it to the final. It was a great tournament. It seemed like Murray's body wasn't prepared to take on Federer and Djokovic in two out of 3 days. So, and that's the way it goes. And congratulations to our women's champion. Miss Azarenka has started to collect some Grand Slam trophies. So she seems to be doing something right. And, you know, also hats off to Lee Na for making it to another Grand Slam final. And that does that country well for its tennis. And we're looking forward to seeing the growth that comes out of that, particularly first. We'll probably see it in the college division first, and then move its way up to the professional ranks. And good news on this, and this is one of those great college tennis stories that's out there. If you've been under a rock for the last 15 years, and you don't know, or I should say it's longer than that. Let's see here. Maybe about that long. If you don't know who Bob and Mike Bryan are, then you're in serious trouble. They became the most successful doubles team of all time, capturing their 13th major title at the Australian Open on Saturday. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with college tennis, I remind you that the Bryan twins went for 2 years out to Stanford University and were quite successful out there. There are some great billboards for college tennis and the success that it can bring. The USA has a long tried to make itself known in history, and the Bryan brothers here saw that there was an international team at the top of that and put forward some lofty goals, and now have achieved them. And let's hope that they continue on with this success. They're still hungry. Remember, we announced last week that they're looking forward to 2016 in Rio. That's where they want to make that retirement. So for those of you out there, you've got them for another two and a half, three years. Get out there and watch those Bryan brothers with Ed Wayne on the show. And stay in touch with him. I look forward to visiting with him again in April when the clay court championships kick off down here in Houston. So the Bryan brothers, they defeated two Dutchmen, Robin Haas and Igor, and I'm not going to say the last name, Sisling. I'm going to guess that 6-3, 6-4 to lift their sixth trophy at Melbourne Park and overtake Newcomb and Roach's mark of 12 titles. So, Bryan brothers, in history, you will go down as being better than John Newcomb and Tony Roach. Now, those are pretty good people in tennis. Congratulations. They were contesting their ninth Australian Open doubles final in the past 10 years and making an open era record of 23rd appearance in a Grand Slam championship title match. Now, these are two names that you're going to recognize. Only John Brownwich and Adrian Quist have won more Australian doubles championships. They have eight. The Bryans are 34, so when they get to Rio, they'll be close to 36, 37 years old. They've got to be 37 by that time. The ITA didn't just have the Bryan brothers, though, in the draws there at the Australian Open. They had other participants, college participants. We went over the list of participants last week. We'll go over how they did this week. And looking at things, on the men's single side, Kevin Anderson, and he attended the University of Illinois, also from South Africa, made it to the fourth round where he lost to Thomas Burdich. Everybody recognizes that name. 6-3, 6-2, 7-6, 13-11 in that third set tiebreaker. No telling what happens if he gets that third set. He gets into that fourth and fifth. So congratulations to him. Other participants that we had, Benjamin Becker out of Baylor lost second round to Del Potro. Arnaud Davi lost the first round to Feliciano Lopez. He's from Tulsa. Somdev Devarman, University of Virginia, lost second round to Jerry Janowicz, the hot uprising star from Poland. Stevie Johnson, USC, lost to Nicholas Almagro. Five sets, first round there. Michael Russell lost first round to Thomas Burdich, 6-3, 7-5, 6-3. Jesse Levine, who attended Florida, now Canadian, got a Canadian-American dual citizen, lost to Jill Simone from France. Rajiv Bram, Illinois, lost to Marin Cilic. John Patrick Smith, Tennessee, lost to Joel Sosa. Ryan Williams, Tennessee, had his grandfather on a few weeks back. Lost to Florian Meyer. First round matches, except for Rajiv. He was second round and Jesse second round. Now, men's doubles, of course, we know the Ryan. The Bryans were there. John Patrick Smith, Tennessee. John Pierce from Baylor also there. They lost second round. Robert Farah, USC. USC lost in the quarterfinals. Rajiv Bram lost second round in doubles. Eric Butterack from the highly touted professional tennis powerhouse, Gustavus Adolphus, and he and Paul Hanley, they lost third round. Benjamin Becker, Baylor, played with Frank Moser from Virginia Commonwealth. They lost first round. Kevin Anderson lost third round. Ken Skupski from LSU lost first round. Treat Conrad Huey and Dominic Inglo, both from Virginia, lost first round. Jean-Julien Roher from UCLA lost third round. Robert Lindstedt, Pepperdine, second round. Mahesh Bhupathi, Ole Miss, lost third round, and he was playing with Daniel Nestor. Everybody knows that guy. Nicholas Munro, North Carolina, lost first round. Andre Bergman from Pepperdine lost first round. Women's doubles, Jill Krabas from Florida, second round loss. Megan Milton-Levy Second round loss. Raquel Copps Jones and Abigail Spears, Cal and UCLA there, they lost second round. Vladmira Ularova from Texas, she lost third round. Lisa Raymond, Florida, lost second round. Irina Falcone, Georgia Tech, lost second round. And Stephanie Bingson from Long Beach State lost first round. Mixed doubles, Marcin Matowski, UCLA, lost in the semifinals. Mihana Bobasic from California lost first round. Bob Bryan, quarterfinals. Abigail Spears, Scott Lipsky, UCLA, and Stanford lost second round. John Patrick Smith, Tennessee, lost first round. Bupati and Petrova lost in the quarterfinals, and Ram lost in the first round. Rajiv Ram. Woo! College tennis did all right over there in Australia. You know, a lot of those players that we got beat by, you might recognize. Seeded players. So college tennis seems to be doing its work as far as trying to be a training ground for these players, springboard. Now, before we get to Coach Buck, and he'll be here shortly, we're going to talk about an interesting article that came this weekend from South Carolina, the state, written by Ron Morris. Ron is a sports columnist there. And he was talking a little bit about tennis. And his name of his column was International Players Helping Fuel Women's College Tennis. He's basing it on the University of South Carolina perspective here. Had a dual match, a doubleheader over the weekend involving Winthrop and USC Upstate. So he decided to do a little investigating, and this is what he came up with. And I'll share some of the data that he put out there for everybody, and you can kind of judge for yourself as to what's going on here. Of the 26 players listed on the three rosters, 19 called another country home. Now, remember, that's three teams, 26 players. 19 called another country home, from Algeria to Brazil to Russia. He states that college women has tennis has taken on an international flavor, so much so that college coaches going abroad to recruit players. They often sit courtside with 30 to 40 coaches watching these players. Interviewed USC coach, that's University of South Carolina coach Kevin Epley, so he contributes to the article. Kevin says, it's all cats in an aquarium store, really. He said, we're all looking at the same goldfish for a good dinner. And that's a great perspective. We're spending thousands of taxpayer dollars or recruiting budget dollars or athletic budget dollars to travel to these international schools to have 30 to 40 kids watch these kids. I read the other day, University of Tennessee, $200 million in debt with their athletic program. $200 million. And no one over there is crying foul. I'm going to guess. I'm going to take a wild guess here where most of that $200 million is spent. It involves an oval-shaped ball and a round ball that gets put through a hoop. Going to be my guess is that the vacuums that are sucking that money out of that department. We all know it's not college tennis. College tennis being the most cost-beneficial sport out there. More bang for your buck. You put the money in the tennis players. The tennis players give back to alumni as alumni for the rest of their lives. We know this, college football, college basketball, may be able to give large sums of money at certain times, but in the long run, not as beneficial to have college football or college basketball programs over men's and women's college tennis. Back to the article. Now, the rosters of 11 in-state Division I programs show 51% of the players are from foreign countries. 11 schools, 51%. The percentage of international players on SEC rosters is 49.6, and it's 40.8 in the ACC. Remember, these are the top tennis college conferences in the U.S. Over just right around half, with the exception of the ACC, are international kids. International Tennis Federation rankings for junior players bears it out. Of the top 100 players, 14 are from the United States. 14 out of the 100 are in the U.S. on the ITF rankings. Taking it from the women's side is where we're going with this. Several opt-to-bypass colleges. You saw that we've seen that with Sloan Stephens, Taylor Thompson. The remaining top recruits tend to migrate to women's college tennis powers such as Stanford, Florida, UCLA, and Duke. Stanford and Florida have won 13 of the past 17 NCAA championships. Stanford and Florida rosters list 13 of 15 players from this country. That leaves the remaining 250-plus tennis programs at the NCAA Division I level to look for the leftovers. Winthrop coach Sid Cavallo says, hey, listen, if you want to compete with the UCLAs or Stanfords, you got to go overseas. Now, I would bet that at Winthrop, UCLA, and USC don't appear on their roster. Anybody want to take that bet? I bet when Florida's writing up their roster, they're not calling up Winthrop and saying, hey, can we play? So he's not even accurate in his judgment here. He's not competing against the USCs or the Stanfords or the Floridas. He just needs to win his conference. Maybe he should look around the area for better players. The depth of talent overseas has to do with a couple of factors. For one, every country in the world plays tennis. How about that? The talent overseas. In America, apparently, we don't play tennis. Also, tennis, like soccer, is a sport of choice in most countries. Not in the United States. Tennis is not a choice, apparently. The most favored sports in the U.S. are baseball, basketball, and football. He should check his statistics. Hold on just a second. Let's see if we can get this situated here. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know, with this idea that you have to get all international kids, I completely disagree with that. I don't think that you have to get all international kids to fill out your roster and to be competitive. I just don't agree with that. I don't agree with Mr. Morris's assertion here that tennis is not prevalent in the U.S. We have statistics that say otherwise. What we're trying to do is get it more in the hands of youth that are out there earlier, and we're trying to do that, and that's important. Apparently, if you listen to some of the NFL players in the next 30 years or so, football isn't even going to exist. So I bet a lot of those athletes will be looking forward to a less combative sport in regards to contact with tennis. So we might have something there. You know, as I finish out this article here, and I just want to let you know, it's a great article. You should go to the South Carolina, the state, their homepage, and that's thestate.com, and check this article out. International players helping fuel women's college tennis. You know, according to the statistics there, it's about half and half, Americans and internationals. And I'm in agreement that we need to get more more Americans into college tennis, more international representation spread out, and I'm not opposed to that, but we got to get the scholarships and this education into the hands of American players. So I'm going to play a quick commercial, and then I'll bring Coach Buck in here, and we'll talk some UT Permian Basin tennis. So hang on just one second.
Alternative Lighting and Power is a renewable energy solutions-focused company with an emphasis in helping athletic facilities. We would like to upgrade your tennis complex to the 21st century. We offer a range of services that will upgrade your tennis complex. We can use our technology to make your facility virtually disappear from the energy grid. We can provide lights, scoreboards, scoring systems, cooling systems, heating systems, camera systems, covered seating areas, wastewater management, and even new buildings. Our company is located in Houston, Texas, but we provide services to all 50 states and internationally. We would love to visit with you about our opportunities. Please contact Ed Love at 832-549-4193 or email at elove@alternativel-p.com. You can also visit our website at www.alternativel-p.com. We are the sunny side of business.
Now, callers, if you want to call in today, a reminder that that call-in number is 714-583-6853, 714-583-6853. If you want to email, you can email college10s@gmail.com. That's college10s@gmail.com, and we'll be glad to get those questions to Coach Buck or myself as we go through this. Let me see here if we can bring him in. Well, Coach Buck, are you there?
I am.
Ah, well, congratulations. We're glad to have you on the show today.
Well, I look forward to it. I appreciate it, Jason.
You bet. Now, when I start this off each week, and I love the fact that we interview these college tennis coaches, but I know your story, a part of your story, Coach Buck, but there are a lot of people out there that don't have any idea who Steve Buck is, so can you take a second and just tell us your tennis story?
Well, there ought to be a few because I've been coaching a lot of years. This starts my 42nd year. I had that great privilege of the late 60s, early 70s, and what they used to call the big tennis boom. Got to play college tennis and naturally went on from there to coaching, which I've been doing for many, many years, 42 exact, and starting 43. So it's been a great ride. I've coached both high school, college, junior high, and worked with some of the players on the tour. So it's been a great experience, and now I found even a more exciting experience here at this university.
Yeah, we're going to talk about UT Permian Basin in depth here in a second, Coach. Coach, I'm curious, where were you born in Texas?
I was born in Oklahoma. My dad was in the oil business,
right. So
naturally followed the oil fields. I was born in Oklahoma City during the boom and right after the war. And then it went Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Wichita Falls, Abilene, Texas, Midland, Texas, of course, and then a final destination of Houston as we followed the oil fields.
I see. Now, where did you get to play college tennis at?
I played at what they called then North Texas State. Now it's the University of North Texas, up north of Dallas, there in Denton, Texas.
I see. Well, you're an Eagle.
I am. I'm a former D1 player that had the great opportunity to play against some of the great college teams and great players of that era. It was an interesting time.
Very good. Now, yeah, very good. Did you get your undergraduate's degree, your master's degree? How did you progress through that?
I've got both my degrees from there. I had actually gotten that and then went back and coached there for a while and finished up a master's there. But, looked to that as my home, and I did have the opportunity to coach there as well. So it was a neat experience.
Well, very good. Now, Coach, after you graduated college, did you jump right into coaching or did you have another profession beforehand?
Well, I thought I was going to have the profession of seeing Southeast Asia with the United States military, but fortunately, or whatever the status might have been, we phased out of Vietnam, and I ended up going into coaching. I didn't really know that's what I was going to do, but I fell in love with it, fell in love with the kids and the opportunity to work with them, and 40 years later, 40-plus years later, here I am and starting a brand-new program, and it's like a new world to me. It's so exciting.
Where was your first coaching experience at, Coach, or what college, or what high school, sorry?
I came out at Abilene High and Abilene Cooper right there in the Abilene area in West Texas and had the opportunity to have some outstanding young players. I walked right into a great situation with several nationally ranked players, and that always makes coaches, you're only as good as your players. And I had the great fortune of having some very, very good ones at that time.
Now, Abilene, Texas, for those of you out there, historically has put out some really good players, Coach.
They have. They really have. We've had several of them go on and play on the pro tour, and more exciting, several of them gone on to be extremely successful in business and law and medicine. And, you know, I haven't seen a kid on the court yet that's a loser. They all seem to win at something. So it's been a real exciting little trip. Great journey.
You bet. Now, Coach, I'm a big fan of Mason, Texas. And, you know, that's one of the communities where tennis is up at the top of the list. And for years it's been that way in Abilene. Wouldn't you agree?
It was. There were some tremendous people there in Abilene that wanted to make sure it got started well. I actually grew up in Abilene. It was one of the places my dad had stopped in the oil business when he was with Shell. And still have great friends there. And, you know, it's still headed by some of the great pros and coaches. And, you know, it's been a kind of a lead into the high school programs, too. And, you know, here in Texas, high school tennis is so huge.
Oh, Coach, it is, yeah. Yeah, I wish we had an hour to talk about that because I know from experience you've got a wealth of knowledge on that. Now, as your college resume goes, you have University of mm-hmm. North Texas on there. What other colleges have you coached
at? That was it. After I finished that little tour there, I went back to high school. I really, really enjoyed it. And then this opportunity came along as I retired. This opportunity came here at the University of Texas, Permian Basin. It's just been maybe the most exciting thing that's happened.
Right. And, Coach, if we go through this and we talk about the University of Texas and Permian Basin, can we shorten that up a little bit? Can I call it UTPB or Permian Basin?
That would be great. That's kind of what everybody refers to it as.
Yeah, okay. All right, very good, because that's going to be a mouthful every time if I have to say University of Texas and Permian Basin.
It's long to write, too.
That's right. So for the people out there, where is UT Permian Basin located?
Well, it's in West Texas. We are both in Midland and Odessa. We use both cities for our campuses. We have an east campus and a west campus. And our tennis facility is, we use the one on campus, and we also use the brand new Bush Tennis Center in Midland. So we're out here in West Texas. Permian actually refers to the Permian Sea, which is the largest oil fields in the world, or one of them, at least in the North American continent, and it's the biggest booming area in the United States. Unemployment's unheard of out here. You know, we're just booming. This new fracking, new oil, it's just gone crazy, and we sit out here. Midland and Odessa have always been known as the great oil capitals. Of course, they run it out of Houston, but they drill it out here. So.
I was going to say the Houston people might have something to do with it, and I'm glad you clarified what happens where.
Well, you know, this is where the rubber meets the road, so it's a great place to be.
Yes, sir. Now, how many students there at Permian Basin?
We're between about 4,500 students. We have grown rapidly the last couple of years, and, of course, with the big oil boom, we've started up petroleum engineering. We have all the programs that you would have at any major university, and we are just growing leaps and bounds. So as I tell you a number, that number's obsolete because we have added new programs. We've got a new nursing program. We have nuclear engineering, petroleum engineering, mechanical engineering. We have the full university system, I guess you'd say. We have everything almost that any major university would offer, every degree.
Now, Coach, as your school offers freshman to senior and probably even some graduate-level coursework there and degrees, can the kids live on campus? Do they have to live off campus? How does that work there?
No, we have on campus. That's one of the pride of our whole university is we have a dorm system where literally every kid lives in more of an apartment-style living here on campus. They have their own bedroom, opens into a living room. The facilities here are just unbelievable. The University of Texas Board of Regents has really gone out of their way to make this one of the most attractive and, you know, part of their great university system schools. And it's just unbelievable. Housing here, the facilities are unbelievable, and the faculty second to none. And the U.S. News and World Report rates us as one of the very best universities, especially for the dollar.
Well, yes, sir. And, you know, and I guess I need to explain, and there are going to be some people out there that understand this, but the UT, the University of Texas at Permian Basin, is somewhat of a satellite program of the University of Texas. And in Texas, we do this where the larger state-run universities, Texas A&M and UT, have started to help these smaller schools with the money that they gather and help promote these educational institutions in these communities. It's a fabulous idea, Coach Buck, and you guys are right in the right place at the right time. Don't you agree?
I feel like it's the best place to be. I mean, I'm so excited about the tennis program. I can't wait to get started talking a little bit and tell you why we're so excited out here.
Right, exactly. And if you know how to lead them in, Coach, the thing that I and what intrigues me most about Coach Steve Buck today is Steve is truly a pioneer in this sport. In Texas, we are trying to make a move to establish more college programs in local communities. And you, Coach Buck, are a pioneer in that. So let's jump into this. I mean, the Permian Basin tennis program hasn't been there very long as we know it now. It's been there before, but tell us about how this all got started there now.
We are in our second year to compete in the NCAA D2 division. Last year was our first year. But the most exciting thing is when they called, and I had a person here call me and talk to me about starting the program, they got my attention when they said, we're going to add men's tennis. Well, I've been through it for the last 40 years, and I watched so many of the great programs like the University of Houston, Trinity, former national champions, and so many of them, including my alma mater, drop men's tennis. So the idea of adding a brand-new men's scholarship D2 program was so exciting to me because we've watched too many fly away. Well, we started it, and it has started a fire across this state to other universities.
Yeah, and the intriguing thing about this, Coach, is this a kind of out of the blue? I mean, for just like you say, for years we had gone tennis, and I'm talking about under the knife so much, and that's why I love this. Is it's just all of a sudden somebody decided, hey, let's try something different here.
You know, it's been so exciting. Because this university sat out here in the middle of nowhere, and that's a terrible thing to say to the people of middle of Odessa, but probably not too many people would move out here for the lakes and the beautiful waters because it is the desert, but it's because of the oil fields. We needed a great university. And we approached this with the idea of let's offer tennis because it brings a very outstanding student. Many of the other sports do as well. That's not going to be argued, but the tennis, we really added tennis to make the university grow and to expand what we have to offer. People in Houston don't realize that last year, I believe, we started the petroleum engineering program, and I think we had like maybe 20, 25, I can't tell you the exact number, students. This year we're going to open with over 200 petroleum engineers in our engineering. So spreading the word of the UTPB through tennis and through our sports has been just fantastic. And, you know, people now know where we are. They're actually hearing it. And that's what it should be. And that kind of leads up to something you were saying a minute ago about using U.S. kids. All my kids are. They're all out of, well, I got one or two foreigners from New Mexico and Oklahoma, but we don't tell, okay? But for the majority of mine, come out of El Paso, they come out of the Valley, they come out of San Antonio, Dallas, Houston, and they have the opportunity to play, and they go back to some of those very fabulous clubs we have, and you know them better than I do, and they go back, and people go, you're playing where? And they've never heard of it. Now they've heard of it, and it has been maybe the most fabulous thing, in my opinion, that has been done to help spread the word about the university is through our tennis program. And the coaches across this state have welcomed us so well that I can't even say the nicest things about them. But,
I like what you say here about the tennis people being the cornerstone of a good athletic department. And we've researched this here on the network. The tennis players tend to be, tennis and golf, better financial contributors to athletic institutions in the course of their lifetime.
Right.
And did that play into some of this as you guys talked about it, or is that just happenstance? That's the way it works out?
Well, I don't know whether the chicken or the egg came first. You know, it's one of those type situations that I think everybody knows it, but somebody's got to step up and do it. And here at UTPB, we've taken that step forward. Last year, I have to share one little experience. That's the privilege of the mic. Last year is our very first year to compete, and I went down to Michael Center at the University of Texas in Austin. I said, Michael, we need to play because I need to get the publicity and I need to get it on my schedule. What I wasn't ready is Michael put it on the Longhorn Network. And not only did – and I have gotten more emails from all over. I don't know how many people must have seen it. But for the first year, a men's program, other coaches have jumped in and helped us. It hadn't been me. It's been a real effort by so many. And as a result, we're getting more and more programs added this year, last year. And the junior colleges, I think, are on the verge of a real big boom here in the next – I'm going to give them 1 year. And I think they are going to boom this next year. So just hold on and get ready because we're going to move back to what you used to know.
Coach, you know, I'm excited about it. And you and I, you know, although we can't officially release names and things like that, there is a lot of talk in the state of Texas about adding college tennis to these communities. I mean, is that what you're understanding?
Well, it's not a rumor. It's going to happen. They're talking about it. I've talked to many college presidents that have called me. Not many. There's not that many universities in the country. But I have talked to several, and especially at the junior college level and the community level, that have said, what does it really cost? What are your benefits? Why are y'all doing this? Why men's tennis? And then they figure out that with the new rules in Title IX, the new rules and some of this other, men's tennis can be added. Now, you know, I'm sitting here bragging about the men's, but we also offered women's. Right now, here at this university, I have 30 players that would not have had the opportunity to play 3 years ago. And they're the greatest kids in the world. They're the funnest bunch I ever worked with. And they're very unusual background, most of them. So it's been a fun ride.
Coach, let me get this straight. You started the Division II program in the middle of nowhere, and figuratively speaking, I understand now. Mm-hmm. And you now have 30 tennis players on both your men's and women's team.
15 and 15. 15 men, 15 women. We offer scholarships. Not everybody's on scholarship, of course.
Yeah.
But we have –
You're not supposed to do this.
Well, you know, there are a lot of kids out there that just want an opportunity. And we're giving them that opportunity here. I've talked to a couple of young players, and, you know, you can't name recruits or anything like that.
Sure.
But
sure,
3 years ago, they didn't know where we were. 2 years ago, they wouldn't return my call, and now they're calling us. So it's been an amazing deal. It has been fantastic. And the number of visits that we've had so many kids that have come out here and said, hey, can we come look at the place? And we can do unofficial visits as well as official. And we've had so many people just came out and fallen in love. And it's amazing because some of my tennis players and some of the kids that came, we actually have two that came to visit that decided not to play on the team that stayed and went to the university. So, you know, it's one of the best-kept secrets in the state. But that secret's out now, I hope.
Yes, sir. Now let's talk a little bit more specifically about these tennis teams. Now, your facility on campus, how many courts do you have on campus? Are they lighted? How's your facility?
Well, let's talk about our off-campus facility too then, okay?
Yes, sir.
On campus, we have four of the brand-new courts, which are ideal, especially for our workouts, because I have a graduate assistant that's fabulous, and I'll mention her here in a minute. But we have the four on campus, which is great because that affords she and I time to work with, you know, 12, 8, 10, 12, whatever we want at one time. But then we also have the advantage, and I don't know if you've spoken or taken a look at the new facility in Midland, the Busch Tennis Center. Are you familiar with it?
Well, you got to help me understand which Busch was it that helped with this tennis center?
Well, it's named after the entire family. The Busch Family Tennis Center. It's named, of course, you know, Senior.
Yes, sir.
Was a heck of a tennis player and loved it. And I think I'm not going to give up on him that he won't be on the court again one of these days. He's a pretty tough old character. I've known him since I was a kid, and he played, and he, you know, played all over Houston, and then George W. played, and George, it's all named after them, but it's been built by private funds donated by many of the prominent oil companies and people out here. But, you know, we just opened, our official opening isn't until April, but we just opened with 19 courts on our phase one. Phase two will include the 8 indoor. Phase three will include all 55 courts, 24 quick start courts, and 8 indoor courts. That's not a bad little facility for about out here in the middle of nowhere.
That's an incredible facility, Coach. And,
55 courts is going to look pretty sharp. And eight covered. They're not climate controlled indoor, but we'll take that covered any time out here in this sun.
Yes, sir. I understand. You know, and I don't, considering the name of my show, Diversity in College Tennis, I don't get to talk about brand new facilities that often. Now, and I'd like to spend a little time on this. You said 55
courts. I probably shouldn't plug it, but if you'd go to the website, Bush Family Tennis Center.
Now, Coach, do you have a stadium court there?
We do.
And
they're building the stands now, huh?
You could actually hold both your dual matches there at the same time, couldn't you?
We can have four or five of them there at the same time. There are not any place. We are going to be chasing many of the top national tournaments.
Good.
It's not our facility now. It belongs to the Bush.
Right.
It's a public facility given mainly for the children of West Texas by the kind and generous people out here in Midland that said we need a top class. And they have designed maybe the most beautiful, you know, in 40 years I've seen a lot of them from coast to coast, all over the world, but this one will stand with any of them. And it's fabulous. How many times have you heard of a new program, new facility, new, and you can't be excited? Man, I'm excited. Now you know why.
I do, Coach. Now, how far from campus is this facility?
It's about, again, we have two campuses, kind of. We've got the one in Odessa, which is our base campus. Then we have one about 10 miles, 12 miles out here, the Midland campus, and it's where hopefully we'll be building some more buildings. We have some out there already. And then from that, it's about another 10 minutes to the Bush Tennis. So from the Odessa campus, it's probably 16, 17 minutes because we don't have the traffic everybody else does. From the Midland campus, it's about 5 minutes. So we're within 15, 20 minutes of the facility, and there's no red lights and there's no stop signs. So it doesn't take long.
Now, Coach, I heard a rumor about this place, and we'll see if you can confirm this. I heard a rumor that the Bush Family Tennis Center was, the land was donated for the facility.
Yeah.
And what I heard was that if you were a smart man, you put your money on that facility will never, ever close as a public facility because underneath that facility sits $1 billion worth of oil and gas.
Well, that's probably pretty close. I'm not in the oil business. I probably couldn't tell you exactly, but I know the commitment of some of the individuals that are doing it, and they're going to make sure it'll always be there. And it is going. These are not cheap courts they built. These are the high dollar, the finest. Of course, it's outlined by the most beautiful site in the world. You can come out here and see one of the beautiful sunset, overlooking maybe 12, 14 wells pumping at the same time. So
Beautiful. I get it, folks. Now, Coach, let's talk about this team of yours a little bit. We got to get back on track here. I could spend.
Sure.
I've counted 3 hours that I could spend with you.
Sorry about that. I'm late.
That's all right, Coach. Not at all. This is mm-hmm. what this is about. So, let's take your. And it's hard with you because you do both the men and the women here. Are your kids? Are they freshmen through senior, or do you just have freshmen and sophomores? How did you work this out?
I've split it out a lot. I did a lot of junior college transfers, so I wouldn't end up with just a freshman class. I actually had some others transfer from other universities where maybe they weren't getting to play enough or they, you know, one thing and another. But we're spread pretty evenly. You know, we'll have some seniors graduating and some new freshmen coming in. So it's well spread out.
Very good. Now, let's talk a little bit about schedule. In the fall, most teams typically play about four tournaments. How did your fall go? Can you name some of the tournaments of the teams you saw in the fall?
We did. We started off with great support out in the El Paso area. University of New Mexico State has a very good tournament out there. It was a D1 with a lot of the Arizona schools, of course, and us, and we were the only D2 there. Then the heat started getting to me in my old age, so I knew we needed to go north. So I've got a former player up at the Air Force Academy, so naturally we headed to the mountains. You know, why play here in September when it's 110 when you can go to Colorado Springs and play? So we went up that direction, and, of course, we play the ITA and all the nationally top-ranking tournaments that are necessary for the kids to move up in the rankings. And we did all of that, of course, in the fall as well. So we have a very nice fall. We have a tremendous schedule. As I said, after this many years, I know a few people around, and a lot of the D1s have jumped in and said, hey, we'll play you. We're going to help you. And when you got people working together on a mission, it's going to succeed.
So in the fall, Coach, you know, and I want to, I love the interdivisional play that happens at a lot of these tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
And considering that you're a school that's in the middle of nowhere and you did this with nobody, I mean, can you tell me some names of the schools that you saw on the tennis courts in the fall?
Oh, boy. UTEP, University of Texas, El Paso, New Mexico State, United States Air Force Academy, Abilene Christian University, Midwestern State University. Boy, I can't even. You didn't tell me there was a test. Well, I didn't study very hard, but there was a bunch more than that.
Yeah.
So,
okay,
and then there's all the great D2 schools, as well as some of the great D3 schools we've played. They have a lot of good programs.
Right. Now we know that the D2s out there, you're restricted on the number of days in the fall. Your spring season now, has it started? When can you start, and who do you start with?
We can work out. We cannot compete until February 1st, which is Friday, and we will be starting. We're going to be competing and going very hard. We're limited by days on this fall, of course, as you mentioned, and we jump into the spring, and we're going to go hard and fast, and we're going to play, and it's really neat opening a new facility because now I've got some people that want to come and meet other schools here and, you know, get in more than one or two matches, and we're going to have an extremely busy spring.
I know you will.
The maximum number the NCAA allows. So
that is a nice halfway point for a lot of schools, connecting the West Coast to Texas. And, man, you're going to drive a lot of traffic through there. Coach, in the dual match spring season, interdivisionally, who will you see?
Well, we're in the Heartland Conference. So,
okay.
Naturally, we're in there with schools like St. Edward's, St. Mary's, Dallas Baptist, University of Arkansas, Fort Smith, Newman up in Wichita, Kansas, and I'm sure I forgot some. That's part of being old. You got to write everything down ahead of time. But Heartland Conference is a great conference. You know, it's very strong D2 conference. I'm the only one playing with All-Americans, I might add. I listened to your program earlier. So.
Well, we're pro-American here. Not that it's bad, and we're not trying to say it's bad. We just want to see these American kids get these American educations. We're a firm belief that there, and you and I, me being in the community college, you being in the small college market here, we can agree that there are enough American kids out here to get good players on these rosters.
Absolutely, and I've coached both, and I enjoy both. I don't want to say anything bad about the international. They're great. But our mission at this university was to grow the university, and we're doing that. And the kids I'm recruiting, gosh, you just can't imagine the attitudes. They are so neat. And, you know, it's like no other place. And they were kind enough to give me a world-class assistant coach, too, though.
Yeah.
And she is international, so I got to be careful what I say.
I know. And tell us how they helped you out. What's her name and what does she do?
Her name is Alexandria Gliabova. She is from St. Petersburg, Russia. As growing up, she was one of the top 10 Russian players. So, you know, they've been known to hit the ball over the net more than once. And they usually hit it over pretty well. And she came by way of the junior college route and came through Jackson, you know, through Florida, like a lot of other Russians, and ended up somehow out here in West Texas. And I just hadn't figured out exactly how it happened yet, but we're sure glad to have her. And it's really funny when I tell her we're recruiting all Americans, and she looks at me and says, I won't be long, because she's trying to get her citizenship as well. Pretty neat kid. Neat story.
Yeah, and I like the fact that she's a community college kid. I like that she's had that experience, and she realizes a lot can be done in 2 years' time.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's really a neat thing. I know we've added two junior college programs here in Texas, and again, we can't say names because I don't want to pub them too heavily, because I may want to, not want them recruiting, but I happen to know there's five more that are going to be announcing in the next 1 year. So.
Outstanding coach. You mentioned the University of Texas, Texas A&M. Are they friend or foe in this? With the UT name, are they willing to help out another UT school?
Oh yeah, I mean we just tried to get through scheduling the University of Texas at Arlington. You know, we try to play. The name doesn't hurt us at all. We have a very successful ability to attract people to play us. Maybe they just needed wins. I don't know. But, it's a great effort. I don't even know what to say about it. It's great rivalries with everybody. But we all have a great time, and we're all in the same boat at the end of the day.
So, Coach, at the end of the spring, I'm going to bet that you play Division IIIs, JUCOs, Division I, NAIA programs.
Yes. What the rules allow us and how many we have to meet and so many dates and all the NCAA rules. But absolutely, you know, we love to play them. I think they're going to be great. I think the junior college programs are fantastic. With their new rules, I didn't know what would happen. And it looks like it's all going to be for the best. New programs sprouting up there. I'm just amazed at how tennis, it reminds me of the year 1970, 71, when they just all of a sudden everything exploded. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, we're on the verge of something really special to witness here, Coach. My question is so in the spring, where's the furthest you'll travel away from home base?
Ooh, that's a good question. Golly, of course, we go to Dallas, Austin, El Paso, Kansas, Oklahoma. We're not going to hit either the east or west coast this year. We probably will in the years to come. You know, we're limited. As a lot of people don't realize, you think the University of Texas is a lot of money. But we have state laws in this state that say that you cannot use tax dollars for athletics. So everything we have to do, we either have to raise the money, comes from student service fees or gate receipts. And this university has chosen to add 13 sports and hasn't added football yet. So we don't really have the gate receipts, so we have to do a lot of fundraising, and we have to do student service fees. But, you know, I think they've made some great decisions based on the needs and what is needed out here. And it's been a great, great decisions.
Do you have a spring break trip, Coach, or do you stay at home, or do you let the kids have their spring break?
A little bit of both. We'll play on the first end of it, and then I'll give them a little bit off at the middle, and then we'll finish up. Next year, we've already started making plans to host a big spring break type thing out here, where we're going to bring in some of those foreigners north of the Red River. A lot of them are going to come down this way and want to come play at the new Bush Center. I hope we'll be up around 40, 50 courts by that time, and maybe our eight covered. And we're going to invite teams from all over the country to come in here, and they can play each other and play us. And we're going to play on spring break in the future. Right now, we're just on the tail end, both the first of it and the end of it, not during the middle of it.
Coach, as you go through your spring season, when do you get to the conference championships and such?
We play that at about the 21st of April. Last year was in Austin. I think this year it's in Dallas, Texas. So it'll be exciting times. We have awful good teams.
Now, if you guys win that conference championship, do you get the chance to play at the NCAA?
We do. The Harlan Conference has an automatic qualifier because we added this program, and that meant the conference moved. And as you know, St. Edward's and St. Mary's and Fort Smith, they've all been great nationally ranked teams in the D2, but didn't always have the automatic bid. But now, by adding this one, has really, I think, moved us up. Next year, McMurray University in Abilene has gone from D3, and they're going to move to D2 and join us, as well as 3 in Oklahoma. I just don't know how we're going to do it all with so many schools, but you know, I guess that's the reason they let me coach tennis and not worry about that, because I have no idea.
Well, Coach, now we've had Hutton Jones on, and we talked about this. Division II program made the move up to Division I this year. I mean, long term, do you think that this is a plan for Permian Basin to move from D2 to Division I eventually?
You know, I don't know. You know, it's so hard to compete at the D1 level using the kids that I use. I mean, there's nothing wrong with these kids. They're fine. But we're not using the international players. I personally would not want to move up to D1 because I'd almost force your hand to have to recruit internationally. Right now, I have limited number of scholarships, and I have a lot of kids that qualified for federal grants or one thing and another, academic scholarships, and they want to come here for the right attitude to get an education and to play. And that's a winning combination in my book. Just to go up to D1, you know, I've been there, done that. It's not as much fun as you think. You get beat a lot, and you've got to recruit so hard, and I don't know if you can do it. Well, I know you can't do it without the international players because there's to really win, unless you're Stanford or a few others, yes. But right now, I think D2 is the perfect place for this university, for us, for the U.S. kids, and, you know, we're going to have the highest graduation rate. You can't get better than 100%. You know, we're going to do the right things. Kids are going to have the opportunity to play. They're going to get an education. They're going to play against the best players, not only at the D2 level, but worldwide, because we do play against the internationals. One little girl this fall, came up to me and she says, "Coach, I don't understand a word any of these people are saying around here." And I just laughed at her because there weren't many people at the New Mexico State tournament that weren't U.S. players. But I have so many minorities, I'm trying to learn Spanish.
Well, Coach, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we're going to get into the meat of this interview and get things covered. So hold on just a second.
You bet.
This is Jason Haynes, the UR Tennis Network's Chief Executive Officer. Over the last 14 months, we have undergone a lot of changes here at the UR Tennis Network, and the Nike Tennis Camps have been one of our strongest supporters. They have had a very successful 2012 summer camp season and now are planning for 2013. We would like to thank them for allowing us to be an advertising avenue for their tennis camps. As we leave the summer, we want to encourage you to check out www.ussportcamps.com and start planning your next Nike camp experience. They have locations all over the U.S. for both adults and juniors. The Nike camps are offered in other sports such as golf, volleyball, soccer, swimming, softball, running, water polo, lacrosse, and field hockey. We want to encourage you to consider the Nike camp experience for your tennis needs. These camps are run by successful tennis coaches and offer a fun camp involvement where you learn new skills and make new friends. Be sure to check them out at www.ussportcamps.com or call them at 1-800-NIKE-CAMP and take your game to the next level.
Well, let me remind our listeners, if they have a question for Coach Buck or myself today, they can call in at 714-583-6853. And now, Coach, while we were away, we had a caller call in, so I'm going to take that call and see who we've got here, okay?
Sure.
Hi there, caller. Do you have a question for Coach Buck or myself? Hello, caller. Are you there?
Hello? Hello?
Hello, are you there, caller?
Yes.
Yes. You have a question for Coach Buck or myself?
Yes, I have a question for Coach Buck. Did I hear that he was the executive director of the PTCA?
I'm guessing this is one of my members, huh?
Might be.
Yeah.
No, we haven't got to that yet, Coach. Now, I'm curious here, and I know what the caller's referring to here. You have a second hat you wear.
I do. It's probably one of the more exciting ones. As I mentioned earlier, high school tennis is huge in Texas. And the Texas Tennis Coaches Association has really promoted tennis so hard the last 30, 40 years. You know, we play team tennis in high school. It affords so many more kids an opportunity to play. It's been a lot of fun. You know, the great thing about college tennis is that number six kid counts the same as that number one kid. And they do the same thing in high school. And these kids that they may not be state or nationally ranked, but they get to play team tennis. And team tennis is huge. And the numbers are huge. And I'm sure that was one of my board members because they were plugging it. But, you know, I think you've been to our convention where we had a little more than 600 coaches this year representing so many kids. And, of course, I listen to the commercials as well, and I'm hoping that a lot of those kids end up at Nike's camps and some of the others, you know. But, that's true. I'm the one that takes all the heat when something goes wrong and never the credit because I've got a great board that works so hard. But we do have the Texas Tennis Coach. And the convention, which I appreciate you attending, is the largest in the United States next to the Teachers Conference in New York during the U.S. Open. I think a lot of people use that as a tax write-off for going to the Open. Ours is all coaches.
You know, Coach, and I've said it on this program before. You can go back and listen. That conference there in Texas blows, I would say, 99%, 99.9% of tennis conferences out of the water. You guys get it.
Well, we have great luck. As I said, I was old earlier. But Wilson has been with us a little more than 35 years helping us. Wilson's a big name. Of course, Prince, Babylon, all the rest of them are helping us. I don't want to leave anybody out. But everybody's joined together with the right idea. Let's grow the game. Let's make it better for everybody. And it's not, you know, competing against each other. It's building a great sport and affording it to a lot of kids. And, you know, I'm extremely proud of the TTCA and what they've done. And, it's always exciting to see so many people that I run into that are doctors or lawyers or whatever. I had a surgeon down in Houston, and he looked at me, and we were talking, and he said, oh, I played high school tennis, and, you know, his whole idea lit up, and it was exciting. So it's a neat organization, neat convention, and I hope it just grows. I know the companies back it so heavily. So anyhow, that's a great thing.
I try to tell my listeners on the entire network here, you need to get down to this convention because the speakers, the industry that's represented, the contacts you make, I mean, it just you guys get it, like I said.
Well, I appreciate that. That's awful kind.
Caller, do you have any other questions for Coach Buck?
Oh, really, I'd just like to hear him talk about how, you know, that obviously the coaches that know a lot about tennis or that are mainly tennis coaches are very knowledgeable of the convention and the organization. But I'd like to hear the executive director talk about what the basketball coach that has been thrown tennis kind of at the last minute because they're without a coach, what the organization can do for that kind of person.
The convention really reaches out to everyone. We do have, because we have so many programs in the state of Texas, we just added team tennis to the 3A and under in the small towns. There's nothing more fun than go to a small town. I think, Jason, you mentioned Mason, Texas. Well, if you like Mason, you need to go to Menard. It's a lot smaller and a lot more exciting because there they have to turn on the headlights on the cars if it gets too late during the matches. But it's really exciting to have the smaller towns as well as the big schools in attendance. As you mentioned, we've had probably some of the top speakers from all over the professional ranks. Wayne Bryan constantly sending me emails, and he's been there so many times, and so many other great speakers and college coaches and high school coaches come. So many people learn so much from that convention, and they take it back and spread the word of the great game we're trying to teach kids.
Thanks for calling in, caller, and we appreciate you listening. Coach Buck, now as we, you know, and we got to get into this a little bit here, this American versus international perspective, mm-hmm. and you have a great viewpoint on this. You know, we just come out of the Australian Open as Americans, where we ended up with a surprise semifinalist in Sloane Stephens, and on the men's side, it's hard to find an American player deep in that draw. You know, what's going on here? Are we putting too many internationals into the American system?
I think so. I've coached them, and I love them, and my assistant's sitting over here, and, she's wonderful. I think we have. You know, the one record that I've kind of kept that it's going to be different than every other coach has ever kept is my kids against the international kids. And, you know, I have a lot of kids, as I mentioned earlier, come out of some very poor areas that are socially, economically low-income areas out of El Paso, San Antonio, the Valley. And those kids, given a chance, have stepped up and won against the international kids. I'll be honest with you, we're not over 50%. They're still beating us. But if you give a kid a chance and you give them the support and you try to help them, they put on their shoes same as everybody else, one at a time. And I do believe the U.S. kids can win. If they're not given the chance, you've answered your own question. Naturally, the internationals are going to dominate because we don't even give our own a chance.
I think you're right in that, Coach. I mean, and this is where I think the community colleges have just a little bit of an advantage here, and hopefully this thing can spread. But this idea that they do theirs differently with taxpayer dollars, and I understand all this. I've been on the inside of this.
Right.
This idea that I don't have to have an entire international team. I can compete in American college tennis with a team made of mostly Americans. That's the way to go.
Well, that's what we're doing. They may fire me on my win and loss, but that's okay. I'm almost where I can draw Social Security. So we're going to do it, and we're going to keep doing it. So we're strongly committed.
Do you like the community college model? Do you like the community college model, the two roster spots on the team?
I do. I think it'll help bring back the glory days of junior college. At the same time, I love the international players getting there because it also gives our kids a chance to play against the international players. I think so many of the schools that I have talked to are looking at us as kind of saying, wow, y'all have done this at UTPB, y'all have done all this, you know, you're reaching all these different goals of bringing in kids, graduating kids, and the junior colleges want to do the same thing. And the NCAA wants more kids to graduate, more kids to be successful, and more kids to give back to both the community and to their schools.
You know, Coach, and this is why I like the Permian Basin. This is why I'm pro community college. I think in order to develop, in order to grow tennis, that you need to put these college-run programs back into the communities and have those communities identify with their teams.
You're absolutely right. And I think, too, as a taxpayer, and I do support the community colleges, of course, I'm glad to see the local kids have an opportunity. Or at least the state, you know, give people a chance and they will respond. And I'm probably a little old-fashioned, but I sure believe these kids can make it if you just give them a chance and a little pat on the back and go get them because they're doing it. And watch us and see because we are going to be competitive.
Well, Coach, when you look at tennis globally, and I had a friend tell me this about the Australian Open mixed doubles final. He said there must have been 50 people in the stands. And my perception of this is that's because no one knows who those people are, whereas you're probably going to get 50 people at a college tennis match because they're connected probably even more to those kids, and communities, businesses, and such can come out and see those kids.
Oh, I think that's absolutely true. UTIP, for example, we went out and played them last year, and I had so many kids from El Paso that we had a larger crowd when we played UTIP than when they played some of the big national D1 school names, because nobody knew them. But I took kids that had gone to school there, grew up there, knew people, and it was nice to think that we had a whole lot more fans than they had. And it was fun.
Well, Coach, and I value the international perspective, but when you have Irina Hitabala on your program and she's from who knows where and I don't know anything about her, it's hard to identify with her. I mean, the coach can. Don't get me wrong. The team
right.
can. Because we spend a lot of time around that individual and we realize how valuable she is or he is. But locally, it's hard, you know, like you say, for somebody from let's just go Kansas University to identify with a kid from Spain, that's really difficult.
It is. It is. And it's also difficult, now I'm talking back from being an executive director of the high school programs, it's hard for these kids to get motivated to think, oh, they look out there and the only thing they see are the international players and they think they never have a chance. And they quit way too early. If you look at our rankings, kids play a lot in the 12s, 14s, 16s, and then there starts to be an exit. And, you know, we don't need that. We need these kids to go on and play, get a college degree. They make tremendous successful people from the lessons they learn on the court during college, the discipline, the work, the ethic. They make great employees and great
business leaders.
Right.
And, Coach, if we do this right with the community college system and the community colleges take advantage of the late bloomer, the diamond in the rough, the kid that's an athlete that may not have all that tennis experience, we're going to start to flood the market with these American players, and you guys at the higher universities are going to get some great kids.
I was interested listening to your numbers. I hope we track that over the years because there's going to be more and more American kids because of the junior college programs, because of the community college programs. And they're going to feed into our programs and all the other programs of this kind. So, you know, the numbers are going to shift.
A good friend of mine, former LSU coach Jerry Simmons in this, you know, he said that that's the way he used to do it. He used to go to the junior college nationals and get good players.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where we're headed. Get good American players at the community college level, those that you didn't consider, but put in the time and the effort and award them with these opportunities.
Well, I've seen it happen in football. As you mentioned, one of your good friends, one of mine, is the head football coach at Kansas State. K-State uses a great number of junior colleges. They use those players. Use is not a good word, but they recruit them. They come up there, and they weren't too far from being in the national championship game this year. And I think you'll see the same thing happen in tennis before long. They turned around K-State because of one gentleman, and he pretty well runs Manhattan. The people think pretty much of that philosophy and his ideas. And he's done it in football. Why can't we?
That's what I was going to say, Coach. You know, Coach Snyder there at K-State, he's done an outstanding job of using – a tool.
Right.
You know, and some people would stay away from that tool, but he showed everyone in that football world this year that if you use that tool properly, we can do this and do it well.
Yes, he does. And I just was scared to mention names. I was trying to be nice. I appreciate you saying that because Bill's a great guy.
That's right. Yeah. And now, Coach, and you offer a unique perspective on this in the minority situation here. Do you think that the minorities are contributing to tennis the way they should be?
I hope so. 50% of my team is Hispanic. So, you know, I told you I had to learn Spanish. Well, that's only because they make fun of my English. So I thought I'd try to learn Spanish. So, but, you know, yes, Absolutely. Here in Texas, especially, the Hispanic population is growing. And I've, you know, you hate to identify anybody by a race or a group or anything like that, but the tennis players from that the Hispanics, they're so appreciative just the opportunity to get to go play. Coach, we didn't beat Texas, but golly, there's not one of them that just, they'd die for every ball. They were so appreciative and they were so excited. And it's going to grow the minority. Tennis is going to really pick up. I mean, there's, you know, I'm not sure who's minority anymore in Texas, but you know, whether it's Hispanic or Anglo, but I do know this, they're all the same when they get on the court, and they'll, yeah, everybody gives it their best, and that's, you know, over my years, that's all you really want to see.
Well, Coach, and the reason that we bring it up on this show is to let people know that these populations, and this is our belief, that these populations represent an untapped potential in the U.S., and that these populations have the most to give back to the U.S. tennis system.
They do, and they have so much to offer back. You know, we have all the great oil companies moving back out here in the Permian Basin, and I'd sent over a couple of resumes to some friends of mine in the oil industry, and they said, oh, gosh, you got players that are bilingual, 3.5, engineering. We'd sure like to talk to those because we do have to communicate in the oil field in more than one language, and they not only contribute great to the program, they contribute great to our state and to our country, and I love working with them. I love working with all kids, but they're sometimes, I'm not going to group anybody, but they're extremely appreciative of the opportunity. And that's
it's so true, folks. So true. And it's the local kid that I admire most about your story that's willing to, you know, in some ways sacrifice, but in other ways grow American tennis. That's what I love.
Oh, yeah.
Coach, I got to ask you, though, and let's get you out of the college coach in just a little bit here. Where do you think American tennis on the professional level is headed?
That's a good question. I think we've got some very good, young, talented players. It's ironic, Ryan Harrison, his dad's picture's over here on my wall. I once coached him. Some of these young players coming up are just really fantastic. I hope that they don't get overtaken by some of the international players. Some of them have chosen not to go to college and trying to turn pro. Some of them have tried to do it through the academies. I don't really know the right answer, but I think we're going to have more and more Americans show up and start being higher in every draw. Here we've had a low for the last 10 years, or maybe
one of the overwhelming things that I encounter with this and talking about players is it seems to be based on desire, you know, and that's what awards the great tennis players, the great name associated with it. And as you go through this, what do you think about that? Is desire the key?
I think it is. You know, I tell all our players every day, you don't win on Saturday. You win on workouts Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You've got to have that desire and that determination to work during that time. You know, everybody wants to win on Saturday or everybody wants to win on Sunday, but it's the one that wants to win during practice on those first days, we'll take care of business on the weekend. And that's a lesson that some of ours need to learn, that they've got to work hard during those off. They've got to practice. They got to work hard. And, you know, that's a little bit limited in the U.S.
Coach, you think if we put a tennis racket in some hands, and I'll throw out some names here. Let's say Michael Jordan, Albert Pujols, Adrian Peterson, Mia Hamm, Hope Solo. Would they have made great tennis players?
Well, you know, I had that great opportunity to play at the University of North Texas State in those old days, and one of my dear friends, who's still a great, he's passed on now, played for the Dallas Cowboys, and I had the opportunity to play tennis with many of those. As soon as the season was over, they would come out and play.
And I got a newsflash for you. Some of those guys that won the 1970 Super Bowl, Roger Staubach and all those, they're hellacious tennis players. And Colin Ridgway, the punter of that year, I was at my peak playing my best. And I had to play pretty hard to stay up with some of them. And,
yes, sir.
They're great athletes. And great athletes, there's no doubt that some of them could be great, great players. Maybe that's one reason some of the internationals have a little bit of an edge because of their athletic ability. But there's no doubt that many of our great athletes are great tennis players. And back in the 70s, they all played in the 80s. And, you know, I the name slips me. What's the gentleman basketball player at Dallas? Oh, gosh, the German.
Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah, you knew how good a tennis player he was, I hope.
Yep. Yes, sir.
And,
yes, right.
He had a decision to make whether to go, and he'd made it either way. And
yeah.
I don't want any of my kids to play against him because he can still play out. He can probably still win or come close to the NCAA today. And, you know, there's athletic makes a big difference. But I also believe that we can make better and better athletes. This country's got to become more physically fit. Our young generation needs to be playing. They need to be doing things. You know, I'm not knocking video games or television, anything else. I enjoy all of it. But they also need to get out and compete and learn what it is to work, to physically put forth an effort, and to train and do. And the ones that do also succeed in every kind of life and every kind of business, no doubt.
Well, you hit on it good there, Coach. I mean, when I watch these finals of these men, that, and when I talk about the, you know, the top four, Nadal, Djokovic, Murray, and Federer, these guys are hitting, let's just say, an average of about 14 shots a point over 5 hours in a classic battle here. And physically fit, that's a misnomer here for Djokovic and these top guys. I mean, are we training the right way? Are we doing the right things? Well, you know, it's overwhelming at times.
They are fantastic athletes. Every one that walks on that court, you're going to see that are just tremendous athletes. Are we training the right way? When do we start training? You know, I'm seeing elementary age kids that are not physically fit, where 40 years ago we didn't have all the video games. And I keep using that, and I shouldn't. But we didn't have those distractions. You went out and threw rocks or, you know, whatever we did to pass the time. And I think we were, as a nation, better physically fit years ago. And there's all kinds of studies. You know, you have to look at all the obesity and the studies. And we need to start getting our kids physically fit earlier. They need to be physically fit all the way through. And they will end up at the top in the rankings. And world rankings in tennis. But that starts with the physical ability at a young age, and it needs to continue all the way through their life.
Coach, is there a harder sport on the planet than tennis?
I don't think so. Now, as bad as I play golf, I would say that is mentally one of the worst. And I have no reason to ever want to play it again. So it might be the worst and most frustrating, most miserable game ever. But tennis isn't too far behind it mentally, physically, and emotionally because I can't understand why I can't hit some of those shots I once did.
Well, Coach, I think you hit on it. Golf is truly a frustrating game, whereas tennis is a sport of a lifetime.
It is.
I'm going to lose my live listeners here, Coach. I'm keep you on just another couple of minutes, but I want to let
sure.
you know I'm going to lose them. You know, I think that, and with the guys hitting the ball 164 miles an hour on the serve, but a kid in Australia did that, and then Rahal's ground strokes at Wimbledon clocked in at 90 miles an hour against Nadal. I just don't know how there's another sport out there that can compare with us when we battle for 5 hours.
It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable. But we
okay,
need.
Okay, Coach. No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
No. That's good. Right there. I think you said it all.
I got two quick short answer questions here I'm curious about, and I try to ask my guests this all the time. Who's your favorite all-time tennis player, Coach?
Whoa, that was a loaded question. I don't know. That's a there's too many of them. Probably Jack Kramer. And most people say, oh, I thought he just made tennis rackets. Probably Jack Kramer, way back in the dark ages. Would have been.
I'll be.
Yeah.
And that's the first. Jack Kramer's the first year coach. You're a pioneer.
Of course, I may be the only one old enough to not have known him.
Oh.
Because he was a friend. May have been over 60 before you even know who that was. But he was great. I think some of the old players have been given the same equipment that the young players have today. I think that the older players, many of them had better technique. A lot of the players, younger players, have better equipment. So we can start that argument on another day.
Now, Coach, my last question of the day, do you have an all-time favorite tennis racket?
Well, golly, I just mentioned Jack. That's kind of bad, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to put you on the spot.
Probably the Jack Kramer, the old wooden Jack Kramer racket.
Okay.
I think in a lot of ways I kind of wish kids would start playing with those. I think they learned a better technique. Some of these new rackets today, if you just point it in the right direction, it'll do the rest. And in the old days, now I'm giving away my age, but back then I think John McEnroe agrees with me on this. It was a different game and maybe more skill. But, game has evolved tremendously, and it won't go back. But I enjoyed the game playing with the old Kramer racket.
Very good. Now, Coach, if someone wants to find out about Permian Basin and the tennis program, how do they do that on the web? What's the website?
You can just go to the University of Texas Permian Basin and hit athletics, and my email and phone number will come up. And I love to visit, as you can tell. I'll talk to anybody that will listen. And
very good, Coach.
Thing, and I would encourage them because it shows the entire university, and it's the best-kept secret in Texas.
Well, not any longer, Coach. We're in trouble with that name.
Probably true.
Well, listen, I want to thank you for coming on air today, and it's just a joy to get to talk to you for the time that we've done today, Coach.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it so much.
Yeah, and look forward to seeing you again soon, Coach.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Coach Steve Buck, he's out at UT Permian Basin, University of Texas at Permian Basin. Steve is a pioneer. He's taken the rail over the helm of a program that was non-existent and is now, he's trying to keep it a secret, but it's not working out real well. He's getting a lot of recognition for what he's doing over there, and we're just so excited that he's including the American player in his adventure. And we wish him nothing but success out there in that area. That area is going to grow. He's right. That Bush Tennis Center is amazing. And I know Coach Buck is gonna be a magnet out there and attract a lot of good programs, teams, players, and create a great tennis environment out there for all those that are involved. And just so grateful that he came on today to visit with us. Please check out his team and his site. As you go through it, Permian Basin, utpb.eu is going to be my guest and all that. And so we'll be back next week on the air at 2 o'clock Central Standard Time. And we look forward to talking more diversity in college tennis with you. And please, if you can, get out today and hit some more tennis balls. Here in Texas, it's kind of wet, but we want to encourage you to do so. So we'll see you again back here next week. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Opinions stated by various contributors to UR10's radio and its programming are not to be considered as endorsed by the UR10's network. Visitors are urged to use their own discernment to draw their own conclusions. All information, products, services, and use of this website is for personal use only. UR10's radio does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained within the website. Any services or products provided by UR10's radio and its hosts or contributors should be used solely for entertainment and enjoyment. We emphasize the importance of keeping an open mind and not construing the data, products, and/or services as factual.